pictures the need for us to cleanse ourselves before we enter into the holy place, into the presence of God. We first need to make sure our sins have been dealt with through confession. Beautiful picture there. And here in chapter 31, God then says to Moses, he's still on the mountain, receiving the law from the Lord. And now he says, I'm going to actually prepare some people to help you build the tabernacle, build everything related to the tabernacle. And, less than 24 hours after getting the law, next week, Israel breaks pretty much every commandment, as we'll see. But tonight's passage is quite powerful for us. Notice verse 1 of 31. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, See, I've called by name Bezaleel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship, to devise cunning works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass and in cutting of stones, to set them in a carving of timber, to work in all manner of workmanship. And I, behold, I've given with him Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan, and in the hearts of all that are wise-hearted I put wisdom, that they may make all that I have commanded thee. So our title tonight is, I have called by name. I've called by name. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for your word and the privilege to open it, and pray that the Holy Spirit would now use it in our lives. And Lord, we as your children would recognize that you have a plan for each of us, that you've called each of us to do things for you. And I pray that we get a hold of that tonight in a special way, that you'd have your will in our hearts. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. It's a very special statement from God, isn't it? There were at this point 2 or 3 million Israelites. And God says to Moses, while he's on the mountain alone, receiving the law from Jehovah, he says, Moses, I've called this one particular man by name. Now, it's not one of those names that we are very good at pronouncing because we don't speak Hebrew, Bezaleel. But I've called him, this one man, I've called him specifically to lead this project of building the tabernacle, which obviously hasn't been built yet. But this isn't the first, or this isn't the only time this happens. It happens in the New Testament as well. If you go to Acts chapter 13, we'll see another example of this, that God calls people. Amen? This is important for us to understand that God calls people to do his work. God has chosen to use people. He could have said, you know, you guys are too sinful, you're too selfish, I just can't use you. I'll use angels instead. But he didn't do that. He says, I will use you. Despite your failures, despite your foibles, your weaknesses, I'm going to call people and use them for my service. Acts 13, verse 2, And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I've called them. We often think about Saul, who became Paul, becoming the great missionary. But it was God that said through the church at Antioch, it's time. It's time for Barnabas and Saul to be sent out by you as missionaries. I've called them by name, Barnabas and Saul. And I believe that God calls every Christian to do something for him. Now, it's all different. We're all not the same part of the body of Christ, as we know from Romans chapter 12. One is the hand, one is the foot, and one is the eyes, and so forth. But he calls us all to do something. If you go to Philippians 3 and verse 14, Paul, later on in his ministry, understood this. Remember, he had been called by God miraculously on the Damascus Road. He was blinded. That's when he was saved. That's when God said, I have a plan for your life, Saul. But then in Acts 13, he specifically said, okay, it's time now. Barnabas and Saul, I want them to be my missionaries. Later on in his ministry, notice what he says, Philippians 3:14. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Do you see that phrase, high calling of God? He's referring back to the high calling that he received from God. He said, I've been pressing to fulfill my calling. And sure enough, if you go to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7, Paul says, I've done what I set out to do. How many Christians can say that? How many Christians can say, God called me to do this, and I'm now at the end of my life, and I did it. I did what God called me to do. Too many Christians quit, fall by the wayside, stop, get tired, get offended, whatever. But not Paul. 2 Timothy 4, 7. The last chapter Paul wrote was 2 Timothy chapter 4. And look what he says. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. You see that phrase, finished my course. God laid out a plan for my life. He told me what it was, and I did it. Wow. That should convict us. That should give us goosebumps. I did it. Now, if you look at Romans 11 quickly and verse 29, I personally believe there are a lot of Christians out there whom God has said, I've called you by name. I have a plan for your life. And they've never gotten up off of the seat to do it. They're still sitting around, not doing anything. But it says here in Romans 11, 29, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. If God calls us to do something, He does not change His mind. He doesn't say, I've called you to do this, and then 3 years later, never mind. God doesn't do that. If God calls somebody to do something, He expects them to do it. And if they don't, He doesn't withdraw the call. They're just not fulfilling what God called them to do, but it never goes away. And I've met people that went to Bible college, and at Bible college they surrendered to the Lord to be a missionary or a pastor, but then they either got married or they got caught up with different friends or got caught up with secular jobs and instead went into the secular world, which is nothing wrong with that, of course. And then 10 years later, 15 years later, they say, I have to go into the ministry. The calling never went away. They just didn't listen. And then they go into the ministry finally and wasted 15 years or whatever. So I've called by name, and God has called every single one of us to do something. That's different for every one of us. We all have different gifts. We all have different talents. You know, these aren't necessarily gifts, are they? What He enabled Bezaliel to do, to work with gold and silver and brass and so forth, we wouldn't necessarily call that a gift, would we? We'd more call that a talent. But everybody has different talents, don't they? Where'd they come from? Those that are good with music. Why? Well, because God enabled them. It's not a gift, it's a talent, but it's the same thing. God expects us to use both our talents and our gifts for Him. So it goes back to our passage. He says, I've called him by name, this one man. He's the son of Hur. He's of the tribe of Judah. And it says in verse 3, not only have I called him, but it says, and I filled him with the Spirit of God. So it's one thing for God to say, I've called somebody, but then God says, and I have enabled him. My friend, if you're born again, you have the Spirit of God. Now, things were different in the Old Testament, as we know. Sometimes the Holy Ghost would come on men and leave them temporarily, like Samson. Remember, he came back on him at the end of his life. Sometimes the Holy Ghost will come in men and leave them permanently, like Saul, and say, I'm done with you. Sometimes the Holy Ghost refused to leave, even though someone fell into terrible sin, like David. But you study it through the Old Testament. He was in Moses, Joseph, David, Daniel, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and we could go on and on. The Bible says the Holy Spirit of God came upon these men. and enabled them to carry out what God called them to do. We get to the New Testament, it's totally different, isn't it? In the New Testament, we become, look at 1 Corinthians 6:19, we become the temple of the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians 6:19. It says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. Let us never forget the Holy Ghost is God. And he indwells us. He enables us. Jesus promised this before he went back to heaven in Acts chapter 1. He says, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Hadn't happened yet. Pentecost was the beginning of a new thing. The beginning of this doctrine of man becoming the temple of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says if we live in the Spirit, let's walk in the Spirit, right? We're commanded to be filled with the Spirit. And so if God calls, God enables. God called Bezaleel to work in gold and silver and brass, even in the making of the veil. He was going to be, if you will, the project manager for the whole thing. And God gave him this amazing wisdom. But he did that himself through the Spirit of God. If God calls us, he enables us. I'll give you an example. If you go to Ephesians 4, I had someone ask me this the other night in the Bible college class. They said, if someone's a pastor and they're not preaching as a pastor should, how can that be? In other words, if they're just telling stories or telling jokes or whatever. And my answer was, if God calls, God enables. So if somebody's truly called to be a pastor, then God's going to enable them to be a pastor. Because it is one of the gifts. Notice Ephesians 4:11. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And so if God truly calls someone to be a pastor, then he's going to enable that person to be a pastor. Because it is a gift. As it says, if you look in Philippians 2:13, it's God that does the enabling. It's God that does the work through us. We don't do it ourselves, no matter what it is. Whether it's teaching, whether it's witnessing, whatever it might be, it's through the Holy Spirit. Amen? That's what Jesus said. You shall receive power, and you shall be witnesses. First, you need the power. Where'd it come from, God? Philippians 2:13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. You know, the two key words in that are will and do. In other words, God's will for your life is whatever it is, whatever he's calling you to do by name. But then if you will surrender, it's then God who will do it. That's what it says, isn't it? We're going to look at a verse in 1 Thessalonians in a couple of weeks. 1 Thessalonians 5:24 says, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Do what? He'll do it. If he's called you, he'll do it. We've got this man, Bezaleel. God says, I'm going to call him specifically by name, but then I'm going to enable him. I'm going to fill him with my Spirit. I'm going to make it possible for him to do what I'm calling him to do. That's how we're not going to be able to get to the judgment seat of Christ and say, Lord, I know you called me to do such and such, but that just wasn't me. That's silly, isn't it? Because if God called you to do it, God lives in you. So are you saying that God isn't able to do it? You see? Because it's God that does it. God that enables. God that empowers. And back in our passage, verse 3, he says, I've enabled him in what? Wisdom, understanding, and knowledge in all manner of workmanship. I've called him by name. I've filled him with the Spirit of God. And I've given him wisdom and understanding and knowledge. Where do we get our wisdom? Where do we get understanding? Where do we get our knowledge? We get it from the Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians 2, if you turn there, we'll see this, but we don't have the wisdom to understand the Word of God because we're so special or because we're so amazingly intelligent. It's mostly the intelligent people that don't get saved, isn't it? Because they intelligence themselves right out of the gospel. No, it's 1 Corinthians 2:11. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So God commands us to study His Word and read His Word and meditate in His Word. But He doesn't leave it to us, does He? He indwells us such that we have now the wisdom to understand the Word of God through the author, the Holy Spirit. It's quite beautiful, isn't it? I've called Him by name. I've filled Him with my Spirit. I've given Him wisdom and understanding and knowledge. This wasn't something that He necessarily had on His own, but I'm giving it to Him. And if God's calling you to do something, it may not even be something that you necessarily were good at, but that doesn't matter. God will do it through you because it's God that has enabled you. So back to our passage, he says there in verse 6, he finishes up and says, "And behold, I've also given him with him Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach of the tribe of Dan, and in the hearts of all that are wise-hearted, I put wisdom that they may make all that I've commanded thee." We often think of David and what a great man he was. And we haven't looked at it yet, but when we get to two chapters from where we are now in our study of David, we have an entire chapter dedicated to listing all these great men that traveled and stood and fought with David. David didn't win battles against tens of thousands of soldiers by himself, did he? No, he had great, mighty men with him at all times. And God isn't saying that Belial has to do the entire tabernacle by himself while everybody just stands around and watches. It's not what he said, is it? He said, "I've also given him an assistant named Aholiab. So I'm going to give him this helper and all these other wise-hearted men. I'm going to give them extra wisdom so they can help him get the job done." Churches don't run on just the pastor, do they? They don't run if people aren't involved. And again, that goes back to Romans 12. So God not only enables people to do things, but then he enables people to help you get it done. Isn't that beautiful? That we're not an island. We don't have to go out there and do it on our own. God is not only going to empower us through His Holy Spirit once He's called us to do something, but then He's going to bring people up alongside us to help us get there. And that's quite amazing how God does that. And that's where we read about edifying one another and admonishing one another and encouraging one another and helping one another and watching out for one another. That's God's way. Moses is still on the mountain. God's laid out the tabernacle. He says, "But Moses, you don't have to build it. I'm going to pick this one man. I've called him by name, Belial. And I'm going to empower him with my own spirit. I'm going to give him wisdom. I'm going to give him understanding. I'm going to give him knowledge such that he can accomplish what I'm laying out the plans for you to do. And I've also given him an assistant, a helper, and I've given him a bunch of other helpers. I'm going to put wisdom in a bunch of people to help him get this job done." There's only one Holy Spirit. Never forget that. You know, we often talk about, I am the temple of the Holy Ghost, and you're the temple of the Holy Ghost, but it's the same Holy Ghost. There's only one. Can he indwell millions of people at once? Yes, he's God. But he's still one Holy Ghost. So he says of Belial, I've called him by name. And since I've called him, since I've chosen him, I'm going to fill him with the Spirit of God. And I'm going to give him helpers. I'm going to give him an assistant. I'm going to give him people and give him extra wisdom so you can get this job done. Because it's a big job. We saw how complicated the tabernacle was. Remember, it wasn't only complicated, but it had to be transportable, which made it that much more complicated. It had to be to where you could tear it down and set it up and tear it down and set it up. Time and time again. But God laid it all out and said, it's okay. I know it's complicated. I'll do it. I'll do it through these men. God says to us, I know what it seems like I'm calling you to do. Might seem tough. Don't worry about it. I'll do it. It is He which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. I've called by name. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this great example of how you call and then enable your servants. I pray that each of us, Lord, would be aware of what you called us to do. And Lord, that we would strive through the power of the Holy Spirit to be like Paul and get to the end of our lives and say, I've finished my course. That we didn't quit. We didn't get sidetracked. We just carried on doing what you called us to do with your strength and help and wisdom. And I thank you for the way that you do call men and women to accomplish your work. And pray, Lord, that we would each seek to fulfill it 100%. That we might stand before you and have you say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. We love you and thank you for speaking to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.